This hour, we'll take your phone calls with Stephen Bassett from the Paradigm Research Group. Get ready when we come back. And welcome back to Coast. Steve Bassett back with us. George Norrie here. Stephen, give us odds on the possibilities of these hearings. What do you think?
If you were to take the social upheaval out of the equation.
Okay.
Or for some reason, say after the 20th, there was things kind of got much more back to normal.
And calmed down a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say the odds are 90% plus.
That's huge.
But with this social upheaval, we could have major demonstrations, it could be violent. That could delay them some. And I understand. But a lot, no. A month or two. And I would make this point. There's several reasons. There are many reasons why early hearings are the way to go. First of all, we've all been through hell, right? Some of us are handling it better than others. People are a little upset, a little testy.
And some are still in hell.
And I get it. I understand. But you can't stay mad the rest of your life. Hearings on the ET issue would give the entire world, not to mention the United States, something really exciting to watch and get involved in and look forward to. A whole new future potentially being laid out. We need that badly. You don't put something like that off, right? I mean, what would be the game plan? Let's have another 6 months of misery and then look now.
Exactly.
No, that's one reason. Second reason, as you know, as part of the, how would you say, ramp up to all this, Marco Rubio put a little language in the Defense Intelligence Appropriation Bill calling for files and stuff to be handed over to the Senate Intelligence Committee by the Office of Naval Intelligence and some other agency. The deadline was 180 days from the signing of the bill, which puts that deadline around June 25. Okay, so we all know that's coming. There's been a lot of press about it. People are kind of excited about it. And that, you know, that's great.
Well, and they threw some money in the COVID-19 stimulus package.
It was an omnibus bill, and then there was a COVID part, but the appropriations bill was separate. This is basically an appropriations bill that asked for it, not the COVID bill, but it was an omnibus package. I get it.
Where do the hearings originate, in Congress or the Senate? How does that happen?
They can start in the House, they can start in the Senate, they can start simultaneously. It just depends on what the committee chairs want to do and what kind of witnesses and so forth. So you don't know. But that's what we'll be looking to find out. But the point I'm making, George, is that, you know, the government has been stonewalling us on this issue for 70 years. Stonewall presidents. They've ignored FOIAs. Or they just got to, or they lose stuff, right? Oh, they got burned up. We lost those files. It's been going on for 70 years. And so there's a possibility that come June 25 or sooner, they're going to come up with a few documents and this and that and hand it over and say, yeah, that's all we got. I mean, we can't assume that's not going to happen. And if that were to happen, then it would give all of those opposed to hearings in the Congress an excellent excuse to say, we don't need hearings. There's obviously nothing there. That can't happen. On the other hand, if we get hearings going in late February, early March, and these witnesses are coming up on the Hill, we're getting extraordinary testimony, the message will go right to these agencies. Okay, guys, the train's leaving the station. Don't show up with a couple of documents and we ain't got nothing. You really want to deliver some goods, and I think they will. And so we've got the hearings going, and then all of a sudden a whole lot of very important documents come from these agencies as requested by the Intel Committee. That gets added into the hearings. You see how this goes? You see how we win-win? And so that's another reason. And I can think of a few more. But I'll tell you, I'm going to do everything I can to make it as hard as possible for the Congress and anybody else to come up with some damn excuse. Why don't we just kick the can down the road another couple of years, see how it goes?
No,
we've waited long enough.
It's got to be done now. The momentum's with us right now for this.
What do we want? Hearings. When do we want them? Now.
That's right. Let's take some calls. First-time caller Vernon is truck driving in North Carolina. Vernon, you're on with Stephen Bassett. Go ahead.
George, first of all, I just wanted to say thank you. You get me through a lot of many nights.
Well, thank you.
I am a first-time caller. Steven, a couple of points real quick. The whole losing Twitter followers, it was, I can't wait till your podcast starts. I was one that canceled my Twitter account just for reasons. The other question is, I personally don't believe in aliens. Do you think we're going to find something out that maybe there's something is out there?
Oh, there's ETs, trust me. If somebody has, you know, you haven't seen enough evidence, hey, why would you conclude that? I've seen more than enough. They're extraterrestrials. It's an absolute guaranteed fact. And the government knows about it. That's a fact. And they embargoed it. That's a fact. And that's what's been primarily withheld. That's the fundamental thing. And that's what disclosure is about. Disclosure is nothing more than the president saying, yes, we have visitors. They're not from Philadelphia. And we're going to tell you more, but we're going to do it in an appropriate way. That's it. That's all disclosure. That's it.
How much might they know or not know, Stephen? I mean, would they say we don't know the planetary systems they're coming from, or maybe they're coming from other universes? We don't know, folks. We're just telling you they're real.
If I were them, that's exactly what I would say. If you don't know, you don't know. And if you do know, you tell the truth. And if you know the truth but you can't say, you got to give a reason. That's a particularly classified matter. No more shell games. No more hide the banana. Just tell the truth, and if you don't know, you don't know. And let me tell you something. The one thing that has been, I think, extremely obvious over the last years, and particularly the last year, is that the trust in government has dropped so low that a very substantial portion of the population doesn't believe anything the government says.
No.
Doesn't believe what the media says. And, you know, that may be satisfying to some people, but I'll tell you, you get to a place like that, and bad things are going to happen. And so we got to get out of that hole, and there's only one way out. There's only one way you get back people's trust if they've lost confidence in your ability to tell the truth. You tell the truth. Once, twice, three, four times, you tell tough truth, hard truth. And then people go, okay, I think you've turned a new leaf here. So that's another reason disclosure needs to happen, because I can assure you, if there is a major truth-telling coming from the Hill soon, nobody's going to believe anything, and that means that a lot of things can't get done. People are going to die because they can't believe what certain agencies and organizations are telling them, and so they're making decisions based upon not believing, and it turns out that a lot of those things are in fact true. But you don't do it, and you die. I mean, this is not the way to run a country. So let's get in the truth business, and let's start with the ET issue.
Just in the United States alone, in 2019, Stephen, 609,000 Americans were reported missing. 609,000 people missing. How many of those could be abducted by ETs?
Well, that is one of the more interesting and challenging exopolitical questions. And it's non-trivial, which is why whenever it's raised, I require very heavy evidence, because somebody just tosses it out there as things go. It has such implications that I have to push back. First of all, it wasn't that long ago people didn't really pay attention to who was missing. I mean, they pay attention. Nobody reported it, right? Some people turned up on milk cartons. Fact is, huge numbers of people go missing. That's been going on for a very long time. They go missing and then they come back, right? They just start a new life. Some get murdered, some get kidnapped, but it's not that hard to go missing. This is all based on missing persons' reports.
This is a big country, isn't it? Jeez.
It's a big country, a lot of people. So I'm not prepared to jump on that. I mean, David Politis' work is not trivial. It needs to be paid attention to. But there is not anywhere near the evidence needed for me to seriously conclude that a lot of these missing people were abductees that didn't make it back. Right? That's a big deal.
Could that be an excuse? Could that be something they say or don't say at a hearing, that people are being abducted by ETs, and we can't stop it, folks? And that's why we've been holding back from telling you.
Well, look, the fact that they cannot stop abductions and contact like that is a significant matter, and it's a huge public relations matter.
Oh,
it's a serious issue. That's why I believe the hearings about that will take place after disclosure. Those hearings up front to get disclosure, but it would be a lot easier to have those hearings once we've gotten over the hump. And those will be interesting hearings, I can assure you.
I mean, that's where David Jacobs steps up to the plate, because he believes there's a very nefarious reason for all of this.
It may not be. But look, the fact that they're having contact with, hundreds of thousands, and millions of people, frankly, have had contact, is a really big deal. And one of the reasons why this truth embargo must end, you simply cannot continue and pretend that's not happening.
No, you can't do
that. One thing to have a bomber stuck in a hangar somewhere you don't want anybody to know about, but to try to ignore something like this is not good. And so we need to get there, but it's not an easy way there. This was always going to be difficult. And that's why guys like Mellon and Elizondo, with the backing of people within the Pentagon, was necessary to get there. I couldn't do it. We don't have the resources. We don't have the gravitas. I get it. It's okay. And I'm cheering them on, let me tell you.
Do we know what made Mellon and Elizondo go public in the first place?
We don't know much about the origin story. They have avoided it. They've not talked much at all about that. Recently, Elizondo gave a very interesting interview with our good friend George
Knapp.
John Greenwald. And he got into a little bit of the origin story, but he avoided a lot. I mean, he's under non-disclosure agreement. The origin story is really tricky and a problem, because they cannot get into anything that sort of points back to their support within the DOD.
They can't.
So how it came about internally and everything, we don't know, and we're not going to probably know until after disclosure. They've said a little bit, but not much. We assume they have an interest in the subject. We assume that they've known about it for some time. And somehow or another, as things came together in the DOD, they were drawn to it. Elizondo says that he didn't actually sign up to the Stars Academy until right before it launched.
That's right.
But he knew about it, I think. And, of course, he was a logical person for them to reach out to, because he worked on the ATIP program, ran the ATIP program.
I wonder if they were just given the green light to grease the skids a little bit.
In a way, yeah. Look, let me tell you, there is no way that To the Stars Academy turns up in 2017 if the Pentagon and the CIA were absolutely dead set against it. No way in hell. And so consequently, they've got backing. And it may be that backing is growing. And look, I've paid close attention. They have not had pushback, except from the public, because the public obviously was going to be suspicious. But they haven't got pushback from the Navy, really nothing from the Pentagon.
No.
Non-trivial. And then you've got all these things coming out of the Navy and so forth that are helping things along. It's obvious what's going down. Now, it's not happening all at once.
And the pilots have talked about it. They've gone on record.
Absolutely. They got witnesses up the yin-yang. So I feel pretty sure about what's going to happen. However, I tell you, the degree of tumult that's happening now was more than I expected when I decided to come back to D.C., but that's the way it is. Let me tell you, this has happened in history all the time. There's all kinds of big things going on, and then all hell breaks loose, and if you're an activist, you punch through it and hope it doesn't derail you. This issue has had that, and I hope this isn't another case of that.
Let's go to Glenn in Harlingen, Texas. Hey, Glenn, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Bassett, I'm calling from Arlington, Texas, a place where once J. Allen Hynek investigated reports of strange creatures back in the 60s. But I have a problem with the government and disclosure. As you recall, what was it, a little more than a decade ago or so, or thereabouts, when the Air Force said they had solved the mystery of Roswell and they came out with the "It's Mistaken Memories of Anthropomorphic Dummies" from high altitude. Now, as you recall, here's what I'm getting at. With all the ballyhoo, hoopla, and all of Lou Elizondo's shows, we've only seen the fast mover, which wasn't fast moving. It was going 40 knots or 45 miles an hour, for God's sake. And when they zoomed in at 20 power, you could see the wind pattern on the swell. And the thing was, 3 to 6 feet long. It's a little cylinder drone. I mean, the National Weather Service deploys those things 45 miles an hour, for God's sake. And the other video it's either an F-117 or some other stealth drone, and it's doing 400 knots. Neither of these are compelling to me, having half a brain, but I fear, and I'm not Philip J. Class, I've seen things. I believe that they're just going to come up with something like they were just testing the new software and hardware on their phased array radars of the Navy, so forth.
Well, that's a possibility. That's a very strong possibility, Steve, that the government will say this was our stuff.
Well, first of all, time flies. That Air Force response to Roswell he's referring to was 23 years ago.
Yeah.
97. That was a different time. We've moved a long way since then. As far as the evidence in terms of flight characteristics, I have to agree to disagree on that. There is plenty of evidence from many, many sources of these craft doing many thousands of miles an hour. That's been confirmed. A particular case, one can argue, but...
We could not catch them.
Yeah. That's my job. I'm paying attention to a lot of stuff. Other people have a life, have to go to work, make a living. And I just want to tell this gentleman, hey, be skeptical, but pay attention. I invite everybody, starting January 21, start paying real close attention to anything that turns up in the news and look at it from the point of view, is this an indicator? Is this another example of something happening? Because I expect you're going to see some things very quickly. Though, again, this turmoil may cloud that a little bit, may push it back. But you're going to start seeing some interesting pop up in the news. You're going to be going, what's going on with that? It's like this Harvard professor, Avi Loeb. Love this guy.
Yep. We've talked about this Uma, whatever this thing is.
Uma. Which, wasn't she in that movie? What was that movie with the... Anyway. he's the chairman of the Harvard Astronomy Department, right?
Yeah, and he claims it came from an outside ET source. Hold on for a second, Steve. We're at the break. Let's come back and finish things up with final calls and a final chat. And we'll be back in a moment with final calls with Stephen Bassett as we talk about UFO disclosure on our next Coast to Coast program. The numbers lady, Glynis McCants, joins us for a few hours talking about 2021. And then later on, we'll talk about an incredible story called The Incident at Devil's Den. So make sure you're part of our Coast to Coast program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with our final segment with Stephen Bassett as we talk about UFO disclosure. Stephen, for people who want to hear your podcast, how do they find it?
DisclosureWire.org. And then it links over to the YouTube. That's on YouTube, and I'll have links at other places. But that's the easy way, DisclosureWire.org.
And when they're on the Paradigm website, they can find it that way too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, super. All right, good luck with that. If we can help you in any way, let us know, okay?
You already have.
Let's go to the final phone calls. Let's go to Mike in Denver, Colorado. Hello there, Michael.
Hey, good morning, George. Thank you for taking my call. And, Stephen, thank you so much for all the work you're doing on UFO disclosure and really keeping that subject alive. I really appreciate it, so thank you. I had a couple of things I wanted to touch on tonight. So First of all, there was a letter that was declassified from Lawrence Rockefeller to President Clinton, and it was entitled Lifting the Secrecy on Information About ET Intelligence. And in this letter, Mr. Rockefeller stated, it is widely believed that various agencies of the federal government have substantial information concerning the existence or non-existence of UFOs, and it's being unnecessarily withheld from the public as classified. And obviously, you came out with a disclosure petition back in 2011, and the White House broke a 64-year-old silence on the UFO ET matter by publicly rejecting the petition. And the person who responded to this petition, it wasn't President Obama, it was this intern who really didn't know anything about UFOs. So my question is, Stephen, in an ideal world, how would you want to see the White House respond to issues of UFO disclosure? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, that letter you referred to is the beginning of the Rockefeller Initiative. Which is a major event. There's a lot on my site about that. Grant Cameron's written about it. And that is what hooked the Clinton political team, the Clintons and their advisors, to the issue, and they've never let go of it. And that's it played a significant role in advancing the issue, or at least exopolitically advancing the issue. And don't be surprised if the Clinton and John Podesta don't turn up next year out of nowhere, right? Look, what I want from the White House is I talked about that. Every administration is new, start over. So what I want is for the president to pay attention to the hearings, to listen to, to take a briefing and follow very closely. Whether or not he's briefed extensively by the CIA and the DOD separately, I don't know. And then not stand in the way of what those hearings are going to reveal. In a sense of not stepping in and confirming the ET presence. It will be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, political legacy any leader has ever had. That's what I expect. And I hope and I think he will step to the plate on that. By the way, very quickly, I wanted to just talk briefly about that Avi Loeb, because there's such a great story there. Very quickly, George.
Yeah.
30 years ago, John Mack, Harvard-trained psychiatrist, very distinguished, prestigious guy, jumped into the abductee issue, did a lot of research. Harvard tried to cashier him. He had to spend about $250,000 defending himself so that his reputation wouldn't be ruined, and
that's
he was
right.
Allowed to stay, and they backed off. Now, 30 years go by, and where are we? The chairman of the Harvard Astronomy Department learns about this object coming in from deep space, 45,000 miles an hour. It's codly-shaped. Cruises on through, passes by the sun, heads out even faster. He finds a little bit of an anomaly in its trajectory and decides that that means it's probably an alien probe. He goes public with that.
Writes a book about it.
He writes a book about it, right? And Harvard doesn't say a thing, right? So that's all you need to know about 1997 to 2020. We are nearing the end of the race, and I hope people are ready for that.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Mr. White. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George and Stephen Bassett, my friend Mike the Millennial. I tell you, George, you must hit it just right. Stephen, I've come from the God, Guns, and Gold Man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans Man. I believe these things, like David Jacobs, are to a certain extent satanic and stuff. So when they first come, I don't think you'll get disclosure. I think they're going to disclose themselves and say, well, we mage and all like that. So I don't think you'll get disclosure. And George, it seems like we're headed for a rocky road. So I hope come the 20th, everything will be all right. I'm just praying for our country and everything. So God bless you, George, but that's what I think, Stephen. Thank you.
Well, even if the 20th is bumpy, eventually it's going to calm itself and come out. But, Stephen, you want to react to Cornelius? Go ahead.
That's fine. Time will tell. My job is not to persuade. My job is to inform. Let people know so they can decide what they want to do. All I can say is just watch real closely anything that pops up after the 21st, like another another astronomy chairman coming out and saying, wait a minute.
What do you think of that Israeli security director?
Oh, yeah. There's,
what do you think of that one?
Out of nowhere, this Israeli guy, I mean, even doctor, professor, he worked for Mossad. I mean, he's a high-level guy, but fully retired, quite old. Besides, it's time for him to come forward and talk about the Galactic Federation and the
relationship between Israel and the United States with ETs.
Yeah, and all this stuff. And I'm going, okay, right? Now, look, I'm not particularly impressed by that testimony and those statements because they weren't backed up by anything solid. But I think what you had there is you had a guy, a very smart guy. He's retired. He's in his 80s. He's probably known that there's ETs here. All he has to do is read the public books that are out there. So he's known for some time, but he can't go there. He's not going to talk about it. He's got a career. And then finally, you know, we got to the point where, hey, you know, the disclosure train's leaving. I want to get on a train. And so he's read all these books about this and that and so forth, the kind of books that, you know, people have come on your show talked about. And he's repeating that back. And he read a book about the Galactic Federation of Light. So, hey, yeah, that's there and that's there. It's not, he didn't get that from working for the Mossad. And so, again, this is another example of how people are really pushing, you know, in line and making sure they get on that disclosure train. I invite everybody to get on that train. And I tell you, the ones that don't get on it, particularly the ones that have certain positions and been involved in this issue in various ways, the ones that don't get on it are going to wish they had.
It's exciting times right now, Stephen. I mean, I can't remember anything more exciting than right about now. How about you?
I think about, I don't know, maybe actually 4 years ago, but at least 3 years ago, the world got a giant fortune cookie, and it said, you are living in interesting times.
Let's go to Randy in Ashland, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Randy.
Howdy.
Welcome.
You've had Fred Burks on your show a couple of times.
Yep.
And I'm in the sound business. I was hired to record the audio for an interview of Fred. And he was a White House interpreter for, I believe, 17 years. Anyway, he was asked if he had any information about our government having contact with extraterrestrials. And he said that while he was in the Oval Office waiting for the president, one of the doors was ajar enough that he could see into the hallway. And he saw a group of beings being escorted down the hall that would not have been out of place in the Star Wars bar scene. My question is, will they ever disclose the agreements, the contracts that our government has with ET?
That's an interesting take, Stephen, because I was going to ask you, what are the possibilities if this hearing takes place, they unravel an ET and he's there with them?
I want to be at that hearing. If there have been agreements with ETs, this is a huge exopolitical issue, massive, and a tough one to take questions on. But truth is, if we get the disclosure, then the door's open for all these things, and that may come up, and we may learn post-disclosure that those things exist. That there have been these agreements, and there's going to be some really tough questions about that. But again, once we've gotten out the key information that convinces the world, once we've gotten the formal announcement, not just from the president, every head of state in the world will confirm it, at least certainly the developed countries are going to confirm it, then the public is going to be ready to hear some much more intriguing information, and that will come out in following hearings. As I say, post-disclosure, that they really need to follow these edicts. If you know the truth, either tell it or give a clear reason why you can't tell it.
That's right.
And if you don't know, say don't know. Just follow those rules, and you'd be amazed at how quickly the people are going to go, you know, government, I'm starting to take a liking for you.
West of the Rockies, Nancy's with us in Redmond, Washington. Hi, Nance. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank you for doing this show. I agree. This is the most exciting time to be alive. And just two quick things. I didn't want you all to feel too sorry for your friends and cohorts who have gone on and weren't able to stick around for this particular time and this disclosure, because they already know what all things are going on.
Well, that's a good point. They're way ahead of us.
Yes, I do believe that heaven is not just the way that a lot of people picture it. I believe it's an interplanetary thing. Anyway, the second thing is, what is your ultimate goal, such as do you think we may need an eventual spaceship to take us to a safer place to live? Not that I'll be around for that, but is that sort of, what would you say is your eventual goal for going after this?
Okay, on a personal level, I did make a decision recently that, and I'm 74, right?
You don't act it, Stephen. You don't act it.
I know. Thank God. Look, I think I'm prepared to go to Mars with Elon Musk and die on Mars. I think dying on Mars is really cool.
You would go, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You're not kidding. You would go.
Yeah, I would. I'm not tomorrow, but you know, down the line a little bit, sure. Of course, I don't know what the hell I'd do up there, except maybe tell jokes and keep Elon happy. But yeah, but that's personal goal. Now the larger goal is my goal is disclosure. I mean, that's everything I've been working for, along with a lot of other people. But on a larger scale, look, we have got, we've got we're soon going to have 8 billion people. We have an unbelievably complex society, so therefore we have unbelievably complex problems. Things are definitely not in good shape, and they're going to get a lot worse. That's just the way it is, right? So we have to start fixing things. We haven't been fixing anything much lately, and we're going to have to reform, restructure, and make a lot of changes. And the the desire to do that is simply not there. It's there for some, but it's simply not there on a large scale, particularly with nations. My hope is that disclosure will just open a floodgate of excitement, positivity, innovation, and a rethinking of the place in this universe of humans, the relationship between humans and the planet, and of course the relationship between humans and each other. If we can rethink that and actually come to a different place, I think we can get things together. But without something like disclosure, it is not going to happen. Without a major earth-changing, soul-changing paradigm shift of that magnitude, I think we're headed for a really bad century.
You may be right. We take text and tweets. Tom's got a quick one for you, Steve. What
hey,
do you have,
Steve,
Tom?
This one from Bobby in Arkansas. I think To the Stars has done nothing for our fight for disclosure. Can Steve please talk about their biggest contribution? I really want to change my mind.
Well, I think they've done a lot. Steven, we got a minute left. Go ahead.
Oh, can I say? I mean, hey, if he goes to my website, I got 700 in paradigmresearchgroup.org. I got 700 articles related to what the To the Stars is doing and some of the outcomes of that. I've got 160 videos. I mean, you know, I've read all that stuff. I've watched all that stuff. This gentleman probably hasn't. Look, the day they walked into the New York Times,
that did it.
The 8-tip story and the 3 gun camera footages, first time that's ever happened in the world. Formal release by any country, and those stories were put out. They could have stopped right there, and it would have been huge. Since then, they have been doing a great deal, a lot of it behind the scenes because the political situation has sort of slowed things down. So I'm quite confident that down the line, particularly after disclosure takes place, history is going to be very, very generous with the To the Stars Academy.
All right, my friends, keep in touch with us. Stephen Bassett, you are one of a kind, my friend. Good luck with the podcast. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.